Let us open the Word of God to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6, and we're going to read from verse 11, verse 11, and down to our text, verse 24. Judges chapter 6, verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak, which was an Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him, and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid, and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the 11 cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the 11 cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the 11 cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day, it is yet an Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And in the reading there at verse 24, may the Lord be pleased to bless it to our hearts. Let us unite in prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, we still our hearts again before thy holy presence as we have read your word. We thank thee for it. We thank thee for the quickness and the powerfulness of this two-edged sword. We thank thee, Lord, for the mighty power that is invested in God's written word. And we praise thee that even in its reading, God speaks to us and ministers to us. And thou hast spoken already. As we come to meditate now and think about the next title of Jehovah, we ask thee for light and wisdom and grace, understanding in the things of God, to be taught of God this day, to sit at the feet of the Savior, to learn from him. Lord, make this time in the Word beneficial. We pray that you'll speak to our hearts, that you'll help the preacher in all his human weakness and inability. Oh God, give power and give ability today by the Spirit of God. I look to thee for the word today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace, or the Lord send peace. The word shalom, of course, is one of the better known Hebrew words in the English speaking world. Most of us know that it is a greeting that means peace, but it's used nowadays in a general greeting. Jewish people will say it as a hello or a goodbye. So certainly those who have traveled to Israel will be familiar with this term, and you will hear people speak in this way. I haven't been to Israel, but I've been to other parts of the world where this takes place. For example, in Romania, and the word shalom or peace in the Romanian language is pace. So it's a greeting that is used among God's people. And the Lord's people will greet one another to say hello to them, to say goodbye using this one word. And if you were visiting any of the congregations there today and you walked in, the pastor or the elder will greet you with the word pace, which is the word peace. And when you leave the house of God, it's exactly the same way. Hebrew words go beyond their spoken pronunciation. Each Hebrew word conveys feeling, intent, and emotion. Shalom is more than just peace. It is complete peace. It is a feeling of contentment, completeness, and wholesomeness, well-being, and harmony. According to Strong's Concordance, shalom means completeness, wholeness, health, peace, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, perfectness, fullness, rest, harmony, the absence of agitation or discord. Shalom comes from the root verb that means complete, perfect, and full. Now, of course, there is only one way to find true shalom, true peace, and that is through the one that we have read about in the scriptures, the one who is here called Jehovah Shalom. A title is here in that wonderful period of history that introduces us to Gideon, one of the greatest judges in Israel. Gideon was a man who longed for peace because the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord by worshiping at the altar of Baal. God delivered them into the hands of the Midianites. For 7 years, Israel knew nothing but war and great turbulence in the nation. Like many other Jews, Gideon, the son of Joash, hid in a cave. He planted a small field of wheat by a wine press to hide it from the Midianites. Working in his little plot of wheat, hiding there in a lonely mountain cave, Gideon longed that peace would come to the nation. This mighty man of valor knew that the only way of peace was reconciliation to God. He knew that Israel would never have peace until they returned to Jehovah, the true and the living God. The suffering in the nation was the chastening of the Lord to bring the people back to himself. And so when they came to an end of themselves through suffering, they did pray. If you look back in this chapter 6, 2 verse 6, Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And the Lord heard their cry. The first thing that he did was to send a prophet. He sent a prophet who reminded the people of God's grace in bringing them out of Egypt into the promised land, but also rebuked them for their ingratitude, their disobedience, and their idolatry. And then an angel appeared unto Gideon, this dear man of God, to assure him that the Lord was with him and that he would be the instrument in God's hand to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Midianites. We read that in verse 14, how the Lord looked upon him. And he said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Promise from the Lord was to be with him and to give him victory and to give him success. Through Gideon, peace would be brought to the nation. And so Gideon prepares an offering. The angel consumes the sacrifice. And it is at this very moment that Gideon cries out in the words of verse 22, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. But the Lord reassures him and speaks to him in the next verse, Peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. And it was this message of peace that moved Gideon to build the altar that we read about in our text in verse 24. This altar that he calls Jehovah Shalom. The angel who appeared on this occasion to Gideon, we believe, was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Christ is the one who came to bring peace, for he is the Prince of Peace. There is no peace in this world apart from him. Jesus Christ, as mediator, came to bring peace between God and man. Peace is only through the blood of his cross. The sacrifice of Gideon is a reminder of this. God accepted his offering, this offering upon the altar. And it reminds us of the acceptance that we have in our dear Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's thinking about what Paul wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians 2 and verse 14. Having spoken about the blood of Christ, he reminded this church, for he, that is Christ, is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Jesus Christ is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Christ made peace. He proclaimed peace. He provided peace. And he gives peace. But much more than that, he is our peace. Man was at enmity with God. Every last son of Adam's race has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Without exception, we are born as the children of wrath. God is angry with men. He's angry with the wicked every day. He loves righteousness and he hates iniquity. He is a consuming fire, and one day his eternal wrath will be poured out without measure upon this world. And therefore God has a righteous quarrel or controversy with man. We, O God, are righteousness and satisfaction, or we owe him righteousness. It can't be our righteousness, for we don't have any, but we owe him righteousness. We owe him satisfaction. He owes us wrath, judgment, and eternal death. And so the great question is, how can we be reconciled to God? How can we obtain peace with God? How can we bridge the gulf that is between God and man? How can we make amends? And the truth is, of ourselves, we cannot. We justly deserve to die and go to hell for eternity. That's what I deserve. My friends, that's exactly what you deserve also. This is where the mediator comes in. Jehovah Shalom, the one who is the Lord our peace. Jesus Christ has taken up the controversy on behalf of his people. He is the day's man, the go-between, by whom all the differences between God and man are settled. How does Christ put an end to the enmity and quarrel and make peace with God for us? By becoming the mediator and the substitute. In order for Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace, Christ had to make atonement for our sin. He had to pacify the offended justice of God and fulfill the law of God on our behalf. And so he stood as Jehovah Shalom in the covenant of grace. He lived in this world as our representative to bring in everlasting righteousness. He died as our substitute in our place at Calvary, satisfying the divine justice, and he earned this name, Jehovah Shalom. Let me read to you what Paul said to the Corinthian church in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5, just there at the end of the chapter, verse 18 onwards. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Christ still deals with God for us in heaven as our advocate, through whom we have peace with God. If any man sin, think of 1 John chapter 2 in those opening verses, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. The peace that Jesus has provided for his people as Jehovah Shalom is far-reaching. And so we need to understand this. We need to understand it doctrinally, and we need to understand it practically. The truth of it is to be written indelibly upon our hearts. We have peace with God through the blood of his cross. And as a result, there is a peace that flows daily through our Christian lives and characters. Not a false peace, not a counterfeit peace, not an unbiblical peace, not an ecumenical peace, but a peace that passes all understanding. If we are truly saved, we will know and we will enjoy the peace that only Jesus can give. And this will be seen and felt and evidenced in our walk with God. Oh, the peace my Savior gives. Peace I never knew before. You see, we didn't know this peace prior to salvation. There is no true peace to the soul that is unsaved and unregenerate. Quite to the contrary, we're living in a world of turmoil, trouble, and tribulation. On every hand, in every place, in every conceivable way, there's unrest, anarchy, and disorder and war. We could speak about the wars of the nations going on right this day through the world, in every continent. We could speak about the upheavals in the political world. We think that's happening all around us. We can think of the cutthroat struggles of the business world. We can think of family strife, and it's always sad when disorder and discord comes to the family. We can think about our own personal battles and frustrations and problems that we face in life, and all those things that destroy peace and bring disturbance and disharmony and disquiet. True it is, there will never be true and lasting peace in this earth until the Prince of Peace comes. It's in that time when men shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore, according to Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 4. We read also that Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited in Zechariah 14 and 11. As the hymn writer put it, all shall be glad in his kingdom of peace. Freedom shall flourish and wisdom increase. Foe shall be friend. When his triumph we sing, sword shall be sickle when Jesus is king. However, the people of God have a peace right now through Jehovah Shalom. That peace that we've mentioned that passes all understanding reigns in our hearts. The Lord has promised to keep his children in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. And so we have a real peace in our heart and soul, peace of mind, peace of conscience. We're able to go to bed at night and sleep in peace without fear and anxiety because we have peace with God. And because we have peace with God, we have peace with ourselves and we have peace with others. Where Jehovah Shalom reigns, who is the Prince of Peace, there will be happy and peaceful hearts, happy and peaceful homes, happy and peaceful churches, and even in society, there will be joy. He can make us to be at peace with our enemies. Isn't that the way to live? Well, we can if we know the peace of Jehovah Shalom. Where his peace abides, strife, envy, jealousy, fighting, and disturbance disappears. And so blessed is the man whose heart is a castle of peace, whose home is a sanctuary of peace, whose church is a haven of peace, whose community is an environment of peace. May God help us to take in the full significance of this blessed title, Jehovah Shalom. May it not be a term, a cliche, an intellectual understanding of a word, but a real heart experience. Remember, we're saying to you, God's revealing himself. One of the great ways in which God reveals himself is through the names that he gives in the scripture. And not least these names that we are thinking about, the Jehovah titles, Jehovah Shalom. So let's think about what this title really means and the impact that it ought to have upon your life and mine. First of all, we have peace with the Holy God if we know Jehovah Shalom. By this I mean to know it is well. It is well with my soul. This is where the peace of Jehovah Shalom starts. We must obtain peace with God. It is that peace that the apostle referred to when he said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we have indicated already that in our natural state, we are enemies of God. There is a disagreement. There is a quarrel. There's a controversy with God. Sin has separated us from God. Sin has brought enmity between us and God. Sin has caused serious and, humanly speaking, irreparable division. And so there's no real peace until there is peace with a holy, righteous, offended God. In the person of the Son, God became man and he dwelt among us. In doing so, he became our representative and our mediator. He has satisfied the justice of God by his obedience unto death. He lived for us. How often we need to remind ourselves that the Lord Jesus not only died for us, but he lived for us that perfect life of obedience as our mediator. And praise God, he did die for us as our mediator, as our substitute. In doing so, he has removed the enmity against God. He has broken down that wall of partition that separated us from God. And by the preaching of the gospel, Jehovah Shalom sends his spirit into our hearts, our stubborn, rebellious hearts, so that we can be reconciled to God. He persuades us tenderly, graciously, and effectually to lay down our arms of rebellion and to be friends with the Almighty. Our sin stood as a huge wall, separating us from God, as Isaiah 59 and 2 reminds us that our sins separated between us and God. But Christ put them away when he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. God's broken law stood like a thick veil between him and his people. But Christ has rent the veil in two and opened the way for God and man to be united. You read the words in Hebrews chapter 10 about this from verse 19 to 22. Our corrupt nature barred us from fellowship with the Holy God. In regeneration, by His Holy Spirit, Christ has given to us a new nature. Peter speaks about being partakers of the divine nature. And therefore, we are fully accepted. We have access to God. We can draw near to Him in full assurance of faith. And this is the beginning of peace. But it's also the foundation of our peace in every walk and avenue of life. You know, there's many things that disrupt our peace. And our varied experiences as we traverse this scene of time. Things that disrupt peace in our homes, peace in our relationships, peace among our friends and among our neighbors, peace in the world in general. And maybe your peace has been disturbed today. You're sitting in the house of God and you haven't got peace. The peace that is put in our hearts by God when we obtain peace through the blood of Jesus' cross is a peace that penetrates into every other part of our lives if we are the Lord's people. As we grow in grace and in the knowledge of God and the fruit of the Spirit is manifested in our hearts and lives, we will see this virtue and this grace filtering into every aspect of Christian living. We are the peacemakers, and as such we are blessed indeed, for blessed are the peacemakers. Jehovah Shalom therefore reminds us, first of all, that this one who is our peace brings peace for His people with a holy God. In the second place, there is peace in our circumstances. Many are the experiences we face in life's journey. Many a time we find ourselves in the storm. The sea of life rages, the billows swell, the tempest is high, the waves come crashing into our lives, and we can say, at least temporarily, the peace and the tranquility is disturbed. It's a little bit like the disciples in the ship that day when Jesus and His disciples were making their way across the Sea of Galilee from Capernaum to the country of the Gadarenes. It says in Matthew 8:24 that there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. I don't read lines of Scripture like this and fail to think about the actual situation that those men were in. They started on the journey in calm waters. All was well for a time, as it often is with us. But there arose. You want to mark that word, arose. It changes the whole scene here. There arose a great tempest. And these seamen were terrified. Many of them were fishermen. They were used to the seas, but they were terrified. And they run to Christ, who was sleeping in the hinder part of the ship. They did the right thing. In the midst of the storm, it's always the right course of action to take, to run to the Savior. And Jesus arose. And that brings a great difference. You can see the picture, the tempest rises up. It arose in the midst of the calm waters. But now Jesus arose and rebuked the winds and the sea. And there was a great calm. The Savior, who is the Savior, is so described in this title. He brought peace in the midst of the storm. Now the Lord is able to bring peace in the midst of the storm today. Whatever the storm is, He is still Jehovah Shalom. He can bring peace in the midst of the struggles of life. There are many foes to face, and there are many battles to fight in the course of life's pilgrimage. Many enemies surround the family of God and seek to bring them down, seek to hurt them and injure them and do them harm. But no matter the conflict, I want to remind you of the one who is Jehovah Shalom. And He is able to still the tempest in your struggles. And He's able to whisper in your ear this day, peace be still. When King Asa came to the throne of Judah, in 955 BC, God gave this godly ruler peace in the kingdom for 10 years. And that was a time of prosperity and advancement and building. You can't prosper and advance and build when there are wars and there's commotions and the peace is disturbed. But for 10 years, there was a wonderful peace in the land, and therefore the nation advanced. And then something happened. An Ethiopian army of 1 million soldiers marched against Judah. Asa had to fight a battle now, and he only had half the amount of soldiers. So it was 2-1. He was outnumbered. What was he to do? Well, he did the right thing. He came to the Lord. And so we read in 2 Chronicles 14 and verse 11 that Asa cried unto the Lord his God, and the Lord, and said, Lord, is it nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power? Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude, O Lord. Thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. And God gave him the victory. And the Ethiopians fled. They were overthrown, and they could not recover themselves. God still gives the victory. Peace was given. And he can do the same for you and I in the struggles of life. He can also bring peace in the midst of the sicknesses of life. These weak, frail, mortal bodies of ours are susceptible to disease, weakness, and infirmity. We might feel ourselves to be strong and fit and healthy, and yet we know that in a very short time we can be laid low. Today, in the midst of health, tomorrow, encompassed by sickness. Sometimes our illnesses are cured. The Lord is pleased to bring healing to our bodies. At other times, we are to bear the infirmity, and the thorn of the flesh is not removed. However, through it all, we can prove Jehovah Shalom, a great and a sovereign God who gives unspeakable peace when health breaks down and unsoundness fills our human frames. I'm speaking about a peace that, come what may, reigns in the heart of the believer. The believer that has learned the truth of Romans 8 and 28, that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are his called, the called according to his purpose. The believer that has learned that God is merciful and gracious in all his dealings with his own blood-bought people. He takes away the anxious spirit and the feeling of utter despondency, and he replaces it with unbounding peace. We learn, and it's not an easy lesson to learn at times, to be careful for nothing. The Lord doesn't want us to be weighed down with cares. The Lord can bring peace in the midst of sickness. And he can bring peace in the midst of the sufferings of life. No one is exempt from suffering. It may be, as we have mentioned, the battles of life. It may be bad health. But there are a host of other things that can intrude into our lives. We have all crosses to bear. And every week we know something of the circumstances of many in the congregation and the struggles of life that they go through, and what some of our people are enduring. But Jesus knows, he who is Jehovah Shalom, and he's able to impart his peace, whatever the struggle is. And so we have this wonderful peace in our circumstances. Then there's peace with God's people. I don't need to remind you what God's will is for his people, that we might be fitly joined together, that we might walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called, in all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, that we be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Isn't it true that for many, words like lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearance, unity, peace, kindness, tender-hearted, forgiving. All these words that are mentioned here could rarely be written or said of those people. Just think of those words and ask yourself the question, are they found in me? And to what extent? I don't need to remind you that Jesus prayed in his high priestly prayer that they all may be one, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. You want to think about that? What does the world know? What does the world think of the Christian church and the people of God as they look on? Nor do I need to remind you what the devil's intention is regarding the church of Jesus Christ. That is to wreck it, to smash it in pieces, to destroy its witness and weaken its influence. And therefore, Satan will set brother against brother, sister against sister. And the saddest thing about it is that many Christians don't even discern the work of the devil. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of peace, who died upon the cross of Calvary to remove enmities where they shouldn't be, gives a peace and a harmony and a sweetness to God's people, which enables them to act and behave and conduct themselves in such a way as to maintain the unity of the Spirit. The Christian that knows Jehovah Shalom knows the value and the importance of peace among the family of God. Spurgeon quotes Dr. Ruffner when he said, I would give 1 hour of brotherly love for a whole eternity of contention. And so when we think of Jehovah Shalom, he's the one who gives peace with God, the holy God, peace in our circumstances, peace with God's people. And finally, he gives a peace with the world in general. We are here in this world as witnesses to the Lord's great name, to live a dying world to save, as old General Booth put it in his hymn. And though we are a testimony against evil and sin, which abounds in society, we don't go out of our way to make enemies. And we don't go out of our way to offend people unnecessarily. The gospel is an offense, but we are not to be offensive. The peace that rules in our hearts through grace enables us to live in such a way and to conduct our affairs in such a fashion and speak to the ungodly in such a manner that even the world will have a respect and even envy what we have. We're not to be men of war. We're not always to be seeking for a fight, desiring to cause trouble in the community. That's not characteristic of a Christian. Yes, the world will pick a fight with us, and the world will stand against us, but we must stand up for the truth, and we must stand up for righteousness. We're not spiritual pansies, if you want to put it that way, but we are not to engage in fights with no real cause. You remember King David, and he was a man of war. He said, I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war, in the Psalm 120, verse 7. We've all met contentious people like that. Good men love peace, and they strive to that end. It's a mark of the godly. Writing to the Hebrews, Paul said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. God gives us, therefore, the ability to live peaceably with all men as far as it lies within us. So I say to us all, keep this title, this Jehovah title in mind as we seek to walk acceptably before God. Christ is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Never forget, to be a man of peace is to be like the Savior. He came into this world at the incarnation as the Prince of Peace. He lived and he died to make peace through the blood of his cross. When he was hanging, or going to Calvary rather, He gathered his disciples together and he said, "Peace I leave with you." And when he rose from the dead and made his first appearance to the disciples, he stood in the midst of them and he said, "Peace be unto you." Jesus is the peacemaker. His gospel is the gospel of peace. And if it wasn't, we'd all be damned. And so, my friends, I want you and I to be like the Lord. Want to be like Jehovah Shalom. Want to be like him in this characteristic and this attribute that belongs to God. This attribute of peace. May the Lord be pleased to work it into our lives and into our hearts for his name's sake. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for the revelation that you give of yourself, giving us knowledge about God in the titles, these Jehovah titles, showing us little by little those aspects of the great character of God, building up this picture of who our God is. We thank thee that he is the God who provides. We think back, Lord, to that message on Jehovah Jireh. And we thank thee that you provided all things for us. We glory and rejoice in that. We thank thee that he is the one who heals. He is Jehovah Rapha. And we thank thee that he is our banner today, Jehovah Nissi. And as we thought about sanctification last Lord's Day, he is the one who sanctifies us, Jehovah Mekadishchem. And now, Lord, you've led us a little bit further to see the peace that the Savior gives. Jehovah Shalom. Help us to think about it. Help us to take the title home with us now in our hearts and make application to us as the Lord reveals himself, shows himself, tells us about himself in this title, and help us all who are the Lord's true people to be like him for Jesus' sake. Amen.